In our verse-by-verse study through the book of Proverbs, we come now to Proverbs chapter 10. And in some sense, this begins a new section of the book. You could say that the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs served as something of an introduction. And it can be said that the proper collection of Solomon's Proverbs begins here in chapter 10 as a series of 2-phrase, single-verse wisdom sayings. Now, this arrangement in the book of Proverbs is going to continue all the way through Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16. From the start of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, through at least Proverbs 22, verse 16, this commentary, this teaching on the book of Proverbs is going to treat each proverb individually, really sort of independent of any context before or after. We sense that there is some kind of an arrangement in these proverbs, and that they may be sometimes grouped in sets of 2, 3, or 4 proverbs that are linked together by a theme. For example, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 and Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5 may have been arranged next to each other because both of them deal with the theme of hard work. Yet understanding the manner and the nature of the arrangement of the book of Proverbs in this section is difficult, if not impossible. And different commentators often see different arrangements. In this look at Proverbs, any such connections between individual Proverbs, look, I'm going to leave that to you to figure out. What we're going to do is just treat each verse as its own proverb. I like what G. Campbell Morgan said about this. He said this, quote, "No exposition is possible save to take each proverb and consider it in its separate value. In the majority of instances, this is unnecessary because they are self-evident expositions of one abiding truth." That's a good description of this larger section, which makes up the bulk of the book of Proverbs. So here we go, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You could say that Solomon himself was the ultimate wise son. He received and valued wisdom above all other things. You could go back to 1 Kings chapter 3 and look at that. When King David saw this heart in his son, it no doubt made him a glad father. By the way, think of that phrase there in Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father. Think of how Jesus, in everything that he did, everything that he spoke, everything that he thought, think of how Jesus made his Father in heaven glad. Now, in contrast, Proverbs 10:1 says, a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You see, many of the Proverbs work on the principle of contrast. This proverb contrasts the foolish son with the wise son. Now, ironically, even though we would say that Solomon was the wise son early in his life, you could say that ultimately, at least in some sense, Solomon turned out to be himself a foolish son if you take a look at his destiny in 1 Kings chapter 11. Even though that was long after the death of his mother, he nevertheless ended up doing some pretty foolish things. So a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Our wisdom or our folly affects more than ourselves. Wisdom benefits more than the individual, and folly grieves more than the individual. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. We're reminded in this proverb of the parable that Jesus told of the rich fool. Truly, the man that Jesus spoke about in that parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, found out that the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. That rich fool gathered great wealth, but was not rich towards God. In contrast, righteousness delivers from death. Being right with God brings a benefit that money can't buy. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. This truth that God will not allow the righteous soul to famish, this is one of the blessings that money can't buy, that we might think of from the previous verse. Significantly, the principle is directed to the soul. You know, your soul can flourish even when your body is afflicted. But in contrast, it says that God casts away the desire of the wicked. Ultimately, to be wicked and in opposition to God is to have your desires frustrated. To be righteous and to inherit eternal life, that's to have desire fulfilled. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Friend, do you have a slack hand? This describes the lazy man or woman who does not put forth their hand energetically to do their work. The Bible tells us, even in the New Testament, that we should do all that we can heartily as unto the Lord. That's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. So he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Normally, hard work is rewarded, and prosperity often comes to those who work for it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. This idea of gathering in the summer showing the wisdom of a son sort of connects with a previous example given in Proverbs chapter 6 of the ant being presented as an example of hard work in the summer. The idea here is of a wise son who shows his wisdom by working hard. And friends, we got to work when the season gives us the advantage to do it. That's why it says gathers in summer. A good example of this was Joseph. Isn't it true that Joseph understood that in God's timing, there would be 7 prosperous years of harvests given to Egypt and to that part of the world, and they were to make the most of it by bringing things in during that prosperous season? Then they would have grain and provision during the lean years to come. So it is absolutely true that he who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. To sleep when there's work to be done is laziness and folly. That'll cause shame to self and to others. It is just as much the will of God that young people should gather knowledge as that the farmer should gather his harvest. God's given you the opportunity to do it, so do it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. This principle, blessings are on the head of the righteous, was especially true in the context of the Old Covenant, or you could call it the Mosaic Covenant, where God promised to bless obedience and to curse disobedience. You can find evidence of that in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28. By the way, think of that phrase, blessings are on the head of the righteous. Friends, think of how blessed Jesus was in life. There was nobody more righteous than Jesus, our Savior. And what a blessed life he had living such a righteous life. However, in contrast, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Instead of blessing, violence will come to the wicked. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 are good examples of this principle. The memory of the righteous is blessed. And by the way, think of how blessed the memory of the righteous Jesus Christ is. God's people think about our Savior and all that He said and all that He did. And we think of what a blessed memory that is, what we can learn from it as it's revealed in the Word. However, in contrast, the name of the wicked shall rot. If the wicked are remembered at all, it'll be as a stinking, rotten thing. Our present path in a righteous direction or in a wicked direction will end in either blessedness or rottenness, each entering the path. Every man and every woman can choose if they will be remembered to praise or be remembered to shame. Which is it for you? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. The wise heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Wisdom gives us the humility to be instructed. Therefore, it says, the wise in heart will receive commands. We'll receive those commands from God and from those in rightful authority over us and anybody who God might use to teach us, to instruct us. We will submit to God's word. We'll receive it. We'll regard it as it is, the words of God, and we won't resist it. But in contrast, a prating fool will fall. Here, the fool is the opposite of the one who is wise in heart, and in their disobedience, they will fall. It's kind of an interesting phrase there that's translated in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, a prating fool. Matthew Poole, the old Puritan commentator, said this, in the Hebrew, he is either called a fool of lips, either because he discovers the folly of his heart by his lips and thereby exposes himself to the mischiefs here following, or because he's without heart, as is said of Ephraim in Hosea 7:11, and his heart is of little worth, as is said here. Again, don't be the prating fool. Instead, be one of the wise in heart who will receive God's commands. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Notice that. He who walks with integrity walks securely. The man or woman who lives with nothing to hide, with no double life, can walk with integrity. There's no anxiety from the fear of having sin and compromise discovered. You know, there's a story, sometimes this story is attributed to the British author Conan Doyle, about a man who sent a letter to others that only contained these words, all is discovered, flee at once. He said a businessman who received the letter fled at once and was never seen again. Now think about it. You just receive a letter in the mail. All is discovered, flee at once. And you're so guilty in your conscience that you flee right away. Friends, we know here from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, that he who walks in integrity will live free from the fear of that kind of discovery. However, verse 9 also tells us, he who perverts his ways will become known. The man or woman who walks a crooked life will have it revealed. Jesus said, there's nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. The idea here in verse 10 of the someone who winks with the eye is someone who doesn't take wickedness and folly seriously. You know, there's a lot of people like that in the world, don't they? They think everything, all wickedness, all evil, that it's just a big joke. You wink at it with your eye. Who cares? Let's just make a joke about it all. But friends, the prating fool, that is the one who will continue along that path until they fall. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. A righteous man or woman, of course, speaks life-giving words, most often to others and sometimes to himself. Friends, the mouth of the righteous, as verse 11 says, is a well of life. Do other people drink from the well of your righteous words? Do you drink from the well of the righteous words that you say? Friends, we all need water to survive. Well, your righteous words are like a well of life, both for yourself and for others. Now think about this. Think of what a well of life the matchless words of Jesus are. We receive life and abundance and joy from those words. However, in contrast here in verse 11 of Proverbs chapter 10, we see that violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The wicked man or woman brings harm and hurt with their words. They take away life when the righteous brings life with their words. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. The constant stirring up of strife and controversy is evidence of hatred. Friends, that's what the wicked do. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. The Apostle Peter quoted this verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. We could say this is true in two senses. Love covers all sins. Well, love covers the sins of others, but then love also covers the sins of the one who loves. Hatred brings trouble, but love brings healing. Now, let me think about that verse. Love covers all sins. There is certainly a place for the confrontation of sin and the exposure of sin. This sense here that it's good to reconcile and to cover over sin, that's balanced against other passages in Proverbs that warn us against keeping quiet about our own sins or the sins of others. Yes, there is a place of godly rebuke, but there's also a place in the appropriate time and place for covering over sin. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. When a person has wisdom, it will be found on their lips, the words they speak, or maybe the words that they put out into social media, will reveal the wisdom they possess. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, records Jesus saying, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So it is true, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but, as Proverbs 10:13 says, a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Those who lack wisdom must be corrected by pain, represented here by a rod that's used to strike those who misbehave. Friends, if you refuse to learn through wisdom, you're going to learn through pain. Adam Clark had a good comment on this. He said this quote, "He that can learn and will not learn should be made to learn. The rod is a most powerful instrument of knowledge. Judiciously applied, there's a lesson of profound wisdom in every twig." Friends, decide for yourself. You're not going to be one of those who can only learn through pain, but you can learn through wisdom. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 14. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wisdom takes knowledge and makes it accessible for the future. That's why it says, wise people store up knowledge. You know, you can store up knowledge in a lot of ways. Memorization, note-taking, even the use of modern digital technology is a way that you can store up knowledge. But in contrast, the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The foolish man is a contrast to the wise man. He rejects knowledge, and that rejection of knowledge puts him near destruction. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. This principle observes that wealth gives a measure of protection and provision. A rich man can protect himself better. That's why it says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. However, in this world, poverty puts the poor man at great disadvantage. As we read here in verse 15, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Friends, this is just a plain recognition of the fact that there are advantages to having wealth. You can afford yourself more protection if you're wealthy. If you're poor, your poverty can prove to be a penalty to you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. For the righteous man or woman, labor is life-giving. It leads to life. What a wonderful saying. The labor of the righteous leads to life. Such people understand that our calling is to co-labor with God. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. And that call to co-labor with God is a life-giving gift. Now think about that phrase, the labor of the righteous leads to life. Isn't it ultimately true in Jesus Christ? Truly, the labor of the righteous Savior, Jesus Christ, leads to our life. Without his tremendous work on the cross, I mean, not even speaking of his miraculous labor, his teaching labor, all the labor of service that he did, but ultimately his labor at the cross, that leads to our life. But in contrast, as verse 16 explains, the wages of the wicked to sin. Friends, wickedness has a reward. Labor has a reward, that's life. But wickedness has an end, a reward, and that is sin and the judgment that's due to it. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Friends, wisdom and instruction must not only be gained, but also kept. That's why it says, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life. That keeping of wisdom, of instruction, will bring someone into the way of life. However, he who refuses correction, as verse 17 says, that one will go astray. To refuse correction is the opposite of keeping instruction. It's to reject God's instruction. It's to reject his word and his wisdom. And it's going to lead to a person going astray. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Think about that phrase in verse 18, whoever hides hatred. It's common for those who are motivated by hatred to hide their motivation and therefore lie. In our modern day, very few people will ever admit to their sin of hatred. But it's true. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. They're going to lie about it. And whoever spreads slander, as verse 18 says, is a fool. This explains one way that someone filled with hatred lies. They do it by spreading slander. That is, false and unsupported accusations against other people. That person is a fool because God knows all. And he will judge righteously. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. For many people, the more they talk, the more they sin. That's why it said, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. There's much more potential sin in what we say than in what we listen to. You can sin in either way, but it's a true principle. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But as verse 19 continues, he who restrains his lips is wise. Many of us could bless others and keep ourselves from sin simply by speaking less and by restraining our lips. Sometimes I think about how that principle applies to what people post on social media. Crazy things, stupid things, sinful things. What a great principle for social media. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The words that the righteous one speaks are full of goodness and benefit, like choice silver. That's why it says the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. For many people, the greatest riches that they treasure in their hearts are the kind and encouraging things that other people have said to them. Maybe that's the case for you. Maybe you cherish in your heart to this day. I know there's a few things I think about, kind and meaningful things that people have said to me in the past, that for whatever reason, it is stuck with me like choice silver. Now, if we think and apply this to Jesus, how true this was of Jesus. The words that came from his tongue were like choice silver, even better than silver. However, in contrast, verse 20 tells us, the heart of the wicked is worth little. There are great hearts and there are small hearts. And the wicked heart is certainly small. Thankfully, God still loves the heart of the wicked, and he wants to transform that heart into something greater by the power of the new covenant to give them a new heart. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. When Solomon said in verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, he likely meant this in a symbolic sense. The idea that people are fed, so to speak, by the good and beneficial words spoken by the righteous man or woman. Now, we could say that literally, Jesus Christ fed many people with his words of blessing over the bread and fish that were broken when he fed thousands. But that's another matter. Here, we're just understanding Solomon in his context. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The fool's rejection of wisdom will not go unpunished, and it'll ultimately lead to death. Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Think about that phrase, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. There are many who have been blessed with riches and are wise enough to receive those riches as God's blessing. They understand what James would later write in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Friends, this is a beautiful blessing from the Lord, to be made rich by God's blessing, not by greed, not by stealing, not by avarice, but to receive it from the blessing of the Lord. And when that is the case, as Proverbs 10:22 says, then he, meaning the Lord, adds no sorrow with it. Friends, this is a greater blessing upon a smaller blessing. The smaller blessing is the riches described in the previous part of the verse, but the greater blessing is to add no sorrow with it. You could put it like this. To receive riches from God is to be blessed, but to have riches without the sorrow that often come with riches, that's an even greater blessing. Did you know that there are many rich people who are miserable and have great sorrow along with their great riches. Think of some of the people in the scriptures who were rich, but filled with sorrow. Lot, covetous. Lot was one example of that. Ahab was a man who amassed great riches, but he died on his sickbed full with discontent. The rich man in Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 18, he was rich, but filled with sorrow. Friends, don't be like that. Make sure that your riches are of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fool regards evil as entertainment, as sport. Not only is it meant for enjoyment in his mind, but in the mind of the fool, there's also a competitive aspect to evil, each trying to outdo the other. Friends, to do evil is like sport to a fool, as verse 23 says. But a man of understanding has wisdom. The man or woman of wisdom sees evil for what it is, and they avoid it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. The wicked man or woman knows that all is not right, and their day of accountability will eventually come. They therefore live in fear, and these fears will one day come upon them. Oh, it's true. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, but verse 24 continues to say that the desire of the righteous will be granted. The righteous man or woman also have a sense of what is to come, but it is rightly filled with optimism and hope. Their godly desire will be granted. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As with the previous proverb, this phrase emphasizes the unstable and dangerous place that the wicked stand in. Verse 25 says, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. You could say that trouble, like a whirlwind, comes to all people. But the wicked have no foundation to stand upon when it comes. In contrast, the righteous have an everlasting foundation. You know, like the illustration used of the wise man who built upon the rock in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27, the righteous man will have a firm, everlasting foundation, and he can withstand the whirlwind. Now, by the way, I would say that Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25, teaches us something about Jesus. When it says that the righteous has an everlasting foundation, isn't it true that the resurrection of Jesus proved that he was the ultimate righteous one who has the ultimate everlasting foundation? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. What an interesting phrase there in verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. The idea there is of constant and extreme irritation and also of disappointed expectation. Bruce Waltke puts it like this. The drinker expected sweet wine, but instead received sour vinegar. And his smoke to the eyes infers the same points of comparison. A person preparing food expected a constructive fire to prepare the meal, but instead received smoke and fears instead, and tears, I should say, instead. Now, along those lines, verse 26 says, so is the lazy man is to those who send him. The one who sends a lazy man to do the work is going to be irritated by their laziness and their lack of concern for hard work. The sense is that the lazy man irritates his managers more than he does himself. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The one who honors and fears the Lord will enjoy the blessing of a longer life. And this is generally true. Sinful habits, guilt, and ungodly anxiety all take years from someone's life. You know, this is an example of a proverb that is a general, not an absolute principle. Not everybody who walks in the fear of the Lord lives a long life. But in general principle, it's true. Again, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. This is one of the many prices that the wicked man or woman must pay. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. God has a glorious future hope for his righteous ones. Therefore, they have gladness in their destiny. If not now, then certainly in eternity. Yes, it's true, as verse 28 says, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The wicked man or woman faces a future where all desires and expectations for good will be disappointed. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. It's true, isn't it? Verse 29 says it. The way of the Lord is strength. God's path is blessed and good for those who are set upon it. When we are weak, we can ask God for his strength as we walk in the way of the Lord. However, verse 29 says, for those who are wicked, that is the workers of iniquity, destruction will come. Those who work iniquity will find that they have built nothing. Only destruction will come from all their effort. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 30. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. God's righteous men and women have a wonderful future to look forward to. The righteous will never be removed. It is secure and immovable what God has for them in the future. However, verse 30 also tells us that the wicked will not inhabit the earth. Jesus promised that the meek would inherit the earth. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. But certainly not the wicked. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. God's righteous men and women are known for the wisdom that they speak. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. A person's heart is often revealed by their words, and this is true for the perverse tongue. For the perverse tongue, in verse 31, it says the perverse tongue will be cut out. Those who speak in a crooked or twisted way can only expect to be left without a word. They misused their ability to speak. God will make sure that they are no longer able to use it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. God's righteous men and women have a sense of discernment in what they say. As we read here in verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. However, the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. As righteous men and women are skilled in saying what is acceptable, so the wicked have a talent, so to speak, to say what is crooked or perverse. Now, this brings us to the end of the verses here in Proverbs chapter 10. But let's just consider a few additional ways. We've highlighted some ways through this chapter, some ways that Proverbs chapter 10 points to Jesus Christ. Here's just a couple additional ways. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2 says, righteousness delivers from death. Friends, think of how the righteousness of Jesus delivered him from death in his glorious resurrection. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says, love covers all sins. Friends, this is especially true because it was the love of Jesus that sent him to the cross to provide atonement that covers all those who put their trust in him. Oh yes, in Jesus Christ, it is especially true that love covers all sins. Then finally, or at least finally, among the many ways that Proverbs chapter 10 points to Jesus, but ones we're looking at right now, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24 says, the desire of the righteous will be granted. Friends, isn't that true of Jesus ultimately? Psalm 21, verse 2, speaking prophetically of the Messiah, says, you have given him his heart's desire. And Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11 says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Friends, Jesus Christ is the ultimate righteous one who had his desire granted to him. And friends, you know what his desire was? You, his people, all those who would put their trust in him. You, by your trust, by your following Jesus, by your receiving of all that he's given you and your trust in him, that's your way of being among those who are the desire of the righteous one, Jesus Christ, granted to him. It's true what Isaiah 53:11 says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. May we be numbered among the labor of Jesus the Messiah. So Father, here at the end of Proverbs chapter 10, we see these principles of wisdom and we want to walk in them. But we see also how in several wonderful ways they point to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want to receive him who has been made by you, God the Father, wisdom and grace and justification for us. We receive it with gratitude, trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen.